The following message was recorded live at Crossroads Church, a grace-centered community in Central Alberta.
Today we're going to talk quite a bit about the faithful love of the Lord. So I thought I would start by telling you all a bit about my own love story. I would say really I have two true loves in my life. One is my wonderful husband, Andrew. But the relationship that I've actually been in the longest, my first love, is with the store Target. You can laugh, but it's actually truer than you might like to believe. I grew up in Minnesota, and Target started in Minnesota. So everyone went to Target for everything they needed. You didn't go to Walmart. Target was the place. And my mom really loved this store. And we'd go and we'd wander the aisles and check out what was on clearance and see what was new. And her love of Target kind of rubbed off on me. After university, I moved from Minnesota out to Colorado and I started my first job and I was meeting new friends. And do you know what? Anytime I felt a little bit homesick, I would go to Target. And I did it because Target was familiar. And I knew that even though my mom was really far away, she and I were seeing the same products. And we could talk about, oh, did you see that new cute thing at Target? It connected us. Target felt a little bit like home. Then I met Andrew, who lived in some place called Red Deer. Never heard of it. But we were getting to know each other. And one day, he told me, hey, did you know that Target is coming to Canada? They're getting ready to open a whole bunch of stores. One of those stores is going to be in Red Deer. And I thought to myself, Andrew and I just might work out. I can live in Canada with my two true loves, Andrew and Target. Some of you know how this tragic love story goes. I'd been living in Canada for about a year, and I woke up to a text from a friend who said, Target is closing all of its stores in Canada. And I was heartbroken. This is true. I wore black to work that day. I put a sign on my door telling nobody to disturb me, and I mourned my loss. But even though Target has abandoned me and left me alone here in Canada, I have a loyal, steadfast love for Target, a love that will never fail. Today we're going to talk about God's love for us, and it's not like my silly Target love. It's a deep and abounding and an abiding love that the Lord has for us. Last week, Julie introduced us to this passage from Exodus 34 where God reveals his character to Moses. Moses has asked to see the glory of God, and God says that he'll show it to him. And so we read it here in Exodus 34. It says, then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord, Yahweh. And he passed in front of Moses proclaiming, the Lord, the Lord. The compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation. Moses bowed to the ground at once and worshiped. The word of the Lord for us today. The glory and the goodness of God overwhelms Moses. He falls flat on his face and he worships. And he does so because he realizes in this moment that the character of God is actually hope for Israel. Really, it's hope for the whole world. Because the truth is that it is only God's good character that will save us and that will sustain us. And so when we hear about it, we fall down in worship because of the goodness of our God. But you know, I was thinking about it, and I have read this passage many times in my life. I grew up a Christian, and I've heard often that the Lord is compassionate, he's gracious, slow to anger. And sometimes I kind of just skim past all of these things. I don't worship. I'm not caused to stop in my tracks and praise God. But you know what? I think, at least for me, this is where the beauty of the Hebrew language comes to play. Because in the little bit that I've learned about it, I've recognized that Hebrew is a really physical language. You can feel it. It gives us these earthy images that we can see and feel in our everyday lives. And so for me, as an English speaker, I read God as compassionate and gracious, and these are kind of just concepts in my mind. But in Hebrew, they give us word pictures of who God is and what he is like. So for example, we could look at that word compassionate. And in the Hebrew, we would see that the root of that word is the same as the root for womb. And so the idea is that God's compassion for us is like a mom who's safely growing a little baby inside of her. God here says that he's gracious. The word picture that Hebrew gives us is the delight that you have as you watch someone open a gift. That's God's grace in our lives. Julie last week told us how in the Hebrew, the word for slow to anger there, it literally says that God has a long nose, he has long nostrils. And you can picture that. You can picture an angry bull pawing the ground, flaring his nostrils in anger. It takes the Lord a long time to get angry. God here says that he's faithful. We sang about it today. God gives us the picture of steadiness, standing on a firm foundation. When I hear that God is faithful, I always think of that verse from Deuteronomy 32, where Moses is singing a song to the Lord, and he says that he is a rock. He is just, he is faithful in all that he does, an upright God who does no wrong. God is a rock. He's faithful to us. When God reveals his character to us, we see all of these things that we can experience in our daily lives. So I don't know why God chose Hebrew for the Old Testament, but I've become grateful that he did. Because when we do a little digging, we can see that as we live day to day, we're reminded of what God is like. So moms and dads, tonight, when you're up with your little baby and you're feeding him, changing him, if your toddler wakes up and needs some comfort to go back to sleep, be reminded that this is what God's compassion for you looks like. Next time you go to a birthday party and you're watching someone open a gift and their eyes light up because it's the thing that they have been wanting, remember that this is how God feels as he delights in showing you grace. When you drive out to the mountains next time, and you're almost to Canmore, and the mountains soar up over you, say, do you know what? My God is a rock. All of his ways are just. He is faithful in everything that he does. God has given us his character in things that we can see every day, so that as we live in our normal, mundane, day-to-day things, we're reminded of who God is and what he's like. And one of the ways that God wants us to see him is as a God who is abounding in love and faithfulness. The word used for love here in this text is interesting because it's not the normal Hebrew word for love. The regular word for love is the word ahav, and we see it used all over in the Bible for romantic love. We know that Jacob loved Rachel. You see it used for parental love. Abraham loved Isaac. It's the way that we are to love God with all of our heart and soul and strength. But the word here in Exodus 34, what we just read, is a different word. It's the word hesed. And saying love all by itself is not the most accurate translation. Bible translators struggle, actually, to know how to convey this word to us because there's no direct correlation, really, in any language. It's a uniquely Hebrew word. And because it's hard to translate it with its full meaning, you'll see it translated in all kinds of different ways in our Bibles. So sometimes it shows up as love. Sometimes it'll say loving kindness. It might say goodness or mercy. This concept of hesed is hard to translate in just one word. Really, it needs a modifier So I often think, when I read that word hesed, I think, okay, God's love is loyal. It's steadfast. God is abounding in loyal love for us. But we want to get a picture in our heads of hesed today. So we're going to walk through a few places in the Bible where we see hesed defined, and we're going to define it in a few different ways so that we can go knowing what God's hesed, his loyal love, is like as we walk through our days. The first way we see hesed defined is by understanding that it is intertwined often with faithfulness, which is why we see the two paired together here in Exodus 34. God is abounding in love and faithfulness. And we see what that looks like in the passage that we just read, because the Israelites have just committed that sin of worshiping the golden calf. They've broken the covenant, they've cheated on their God, they've worshiped idols, and God is angry with the people. And Moses has been here with God in this back and forth conversation, and Moses is saying, Lord, please don't forsake us. Please still go with us. We need your presence. And then Moses makes this bold request to see the glory of God. When you think about it, it's quite a request. The God of all things, I want to see your glory. It's maybe even a dangerous request. But Moses and the Israelites are in a dangerous situation. The covenant is broken. The tablets of the law are smashed on Mount Sinai. God might start over with someone else. And so Moses realizes that now is the time for bold requests. He asks God to do this because he realizes that it is only the glory of God that will save these people from themselves. His character is their only hope. At this point, God does not feel head over heels in love with the Israelites. And yet, in spite of this mess that they have created, he says, Israel, I will still go with you. I am going to stay faithful to my covenant promises. God's loyal love is going to remain with Israel, not because of anything they've done, not because they deserve it, but because God's very character is to be faithful to the things that he said he's going to do. He has loyal love. Now, in our culture today, loyalty is not often the advice we receive. We're a people who like new and exciting and emotional and different. If we stick with someone or something after we've been hurt, or if we get bored, who knows? I might not be true to myself if I do that. And we know that the most important thing in our world today is to be true to ourselves. Loyalty might not give that to me. And yet we see here that it is the very character, the very nature of God to be loyal, to be faithful to the things that he said he's going to do. God is true to his character when he sticks with his commitments. God's faithfulness to Israel, his faithfulness to his covenant promises, is not solely based on his emotional love for them. And that is actually a very, very good thing. My other true love is my husband, Andrew. And when we got engaged, I was living in Denver, and he was living here in Red Deer. And it was a Saturday, and Andrew's a music teacher at Lindsay Thurber High School, and he was in an all-day rehearsal for the musical that they were putting on that year. And I was in Denver, and it was the weekend, and I didn't have a ton to do, so my friend and I had decided to go to the mall, and we were just doing some shopping, and I was in a store called Anthropology, and I found a few things on the sale rack that I wanted to try on. And so the employee led me back to the fitting room, and she opened the door, and I walked in, and there was Andrew. He was surrounded by flowers and chocolate, and he held out a box with a ring, and he said, Denise, I have something else I would like you to try on instead. I mean, What a guy. You know, it's sad. He would love to hear you applauding him, and he's not in this service, so he'd take great delight in that. It was amazing. It was such a surprise, and I was overwhelmed, and I said yes, and then we went and celebrated with all of our friends. It was wonderful. Andrew and I were in love. But it wasn't hesed. Hesed, loyal love, is much more about the day-to-day commitment, the sticking with the relationship, than it is about the emotions of an engagement. Loyal, faithful love is when you have three little kids and you're trying to figure out how to raise them together. Or you have busy schedules and you're making compromises. Or you're walking through mundane days. Loyal love is much more that daily walk and commitment as your emotional love ebbs and flows. Or loyal, faithful love looks like when you start to take care of your aging parents because they are too weak and needy to do it for themselves. My grandma's mind is getting scattered, and my grandpa is quite physically weak. He keeps falling, and they've recently realized that they need 24-hour care. So over the past few months, while they were waiting for an assisted living spot to open up, my mom and her sisters took turns living with my grandparents 24/7. And so they would trade every few days, leave their own homes, drive hours to my grandparents' place, sleep on their couch, as they took care of them day after day, showing them loyal, faithful love. The faithful love of God is not always emotional. It's not always exciting. It's not always super fun. But it is sticking with our commitment, showing loyalty to our families, to the weak and poor and needy. This is what God does for us, and this is what He hopes that we live out for Him. The next way that we're going to define hesed is by understanding it as mercy and forgiveness. Because the word hesed in our Bibles gets translated as mercy a lot. It says that the Lord delights in showing us mercy. Psalm 23 says that the goodness and mercy, the hesed of the Lord, follows us all the days of our lives. Mm-hmm. And because the Israelites, and really all of us, are a stiff-necked people, the merciful love of God is often expressed through His willingness to forgive. So we see it in the text. After God finishes, He forgives the sin of the golden calf, and then re-gives Moses the law, then they make the tabernacle, and then the Israelites head out into the wilderness, and we move into the book of Numbers. In Numbers 14, the Israelites are right next to the promised land, right next to the place that God has promised to bring them into. And so they send 12 men into the land to kind of spy it out, check it out, see what's going on. And those 12 men come back, and 10 of the men say, "This land is really good, but there are fortified cities there. There are strong enemies. There are even giants there." And the people of Israel start to get all worked up, and they start groaning and grumbling and crying out and saying, "Why would the Lord do this to us? We would have been better off in Egypt. We should have stayed in our slavery." But two of those men, Joshua and Caleb, they speak up and they say, "No, this land is good. And the Lord has promised to bring us into it. We just need to be faithful. We just need to trust Him." But Israel doesn't listen to Joshua and Caleb. This gong show of a group says, "You know what? We should stone Joshua and Caleb right after we go find a new leader who's going to bring us back to slavery in Egypt." This is the mindset of Israel. It's annoying to even tell you this story. I feel frustrated with them. And you know what? God feels frustrated with them too. He comes down and He speaks to Moses and He says, how long am I going to put up with this people? After everything that I've done for them, look at what we've walked through in the book of Exodus, all those signs I've shown them, and still this is the way they act. I'm going to send a plague, and I'm going to start over with you, Moses. But look what Moses does here. When he talks to God, he says, God, you know what? If you destroy them, Egypt's going to think you weren't strong enough to do the things you said. You couldn't bring them into the new land. And then he says, now may the Lord's strength be displayed just as you have declared. The Lord is slow to anger, abounding in love and forgiving sin and rebellion. In accordance with your great love, your great hesed, forgive the sin of these people just as you have pardoned them from the time they left Egypt until now. Moses remembered what God had revealed to him about his character on Mount Sinai, and then he uses it here in his conversation with God. I don't know if God can be reminded of things, but if he can, that's exactly what Moses is doing here. He's saying, God, remember, you told me you were compassionate. You told me you were gracious, that you forgive. God, we need to see that from you right now. We need this to be true about your character right here. But you know, we just talked about God's faithful love, how God sticks with what he says he's going to do. He can be trusted to keep all of his promises. And yet in what we just read in Numbers, it seems like God is about to abandon that project. He's going to start over with someone else. Was God going to not be faithful to do the things that he said he was going to do? It's a good question, and there's lots to ponder, I think, in that. I think God can always be trusted to do what he said he's going to do. He is faithful, he is dependable, he is loyal. But I also think it's really interesting to look at this interaction that God invites people into. These conversations that people have with God, the way that God actually invites humanity to work with him in his plan of redemption. And that's what we see happening with Moses here. I've been reading an interesting book by a guy named Jay Middleton on some of these conversations in the Bible. So he talks about people like Moses, Abraham, David, Job, the prophets who have these back and forth dialogues with God and sometimes even push back against him. And what Middleton says is that this revelation of God's character at Mount Sinai is so crucial. Because when God chose to tell us that he is gracious and compassionate, that he's slow to anger, that he has steadfast love and faithfulness, when he told us those things, he's actually inviting us to remind him of these attributes that he has as we talk with him, as we push back with him. Middleton goes back to that glory of God at Mount Sinai, and he says this about that conversation. Yahweh, the Lord, was always a God of love and forgiveness. This is a God of overflowing love who desires and actively invites vigorous, honest prayer on the part of the human covenant partner. God and Moses have a relationship. The Bible says that they are friends. And so in that friendship, Moses talks back to God and he intercedes on behalf of Israel because this is what God has invited him to do. He's invited him to work with him in this plan of redemption. And God seems to listen to Moses. In the very next sentence, Moses is asked for forgiveness and then God says, I've forgiven them, Moses, just like you asked. There's a consequence because God's good character is just. But God sticks with these people. He sticks with his covenant and his presence again continues to go with them. He forgives them. Do you know what? I think this is really crucial information for us to know when it comes to our prayers, our interaction with God. Because through Jesus, you and I have been called friends of God as well. And so we're actually invited into conversation with him when we have sinned and we need forgiveness, when we are lamenting and broken, when we have family members or friends who are in need. God invites us to call on what we know of his good character as a way to intercede as a way to ask for mercy. God, you have promised your loyal, compassionate love, and I need that for me right now. My friend needs that. We can have these vigorous conversations with God because our knowledge of him in the past, the way he's revealed himself to us in Scripture, is the basis for our requests for forgiveness, for mercy in the present. And God's always listening. He's willing to be in conversation with us because he is a God who is abounding in merciful love. He delights in showing us his mercy. God extends mercy and forgiveness all of the time, and then he asks you and I to be a people who delight in it as well. And we read that in that famous verse from Micah 6, where God says, I've shown you what is good and what I require of you. God says, I want you to act justly. I want you to love mercy, hesed. And I want you to walk humbly with me. God wants us to love showing mercy, to delight in it the way that he does. But we often don't. We struggle with it. We struggle with joy in mercy. Do you know who in the Bible struggled with this as well? A guy named Jonah. We know this story, right? Jonah, God asked Jonah to go to Nineveh. Nineveh, they were a cruel people. They were Jonah's enemies. But God wants him to go to Nineveh and to preach a message of warning. And we all know Jonah runs away opposite direction, gets himself into a whole huge mess, has to spend 3 days in the belly of a fish. And then finally, he goes and he does what God asks, and he preaches this message, and the people repent. We read about it, and at the end of Jonah chapter 3 and into chapter 4, it says, when God saw what they did, Nineveh, how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. God showed mercy to Nineveh. But look at Jonah. To Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord, isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, hesed, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than live. Jonah's a lot. He's mad. God shows mercy to Nineveh, and Jonah is mad that God is willing to save them. And then he knows about God's character as well, and he calls on it, but not like Moses did. Moses called on the character of God to intercede for people. Jonah calls on the character of God and uses it against him. I knew you'd be compassionate. I knew you'd love to show mercy. Throws it in God's face. And then Jonah goes and sits outside the city of Nineveh, hoping he gets to see it destroyed, pouting when God doesn't do it. God, I'd rather die than watch you be kind to my enemies. Get it together, Jonah. But I'm Jonah. I feel that way all the time. I am grateful. I delight in God's mercy to me. But I'm not so quick to want it shown to others. You may feel that way sometimes. Maybe you have a relationship that went south. Maybe you have a family member who's hurt you. Maybe you have that one politician you just cannot stand. Mercy for them? No way, it's too much. We act like Jonah all the time. Jesus has a parable about this. He talks about how there's a servant who owes his master a ton of money, and the servant goes to his master and says, will you please forgive my debt? And the master says, yes, he will. But then that same servant goes out, runs into someone who owes him money, and he will not forgive the debt. And Jesus is saying, this servant has been shown great hesed, great mercy, but he's unwilling to show it to anybody else. We can't do it. If we follow Jesus, we cannot be that person. We have to be people who are willing to extend forgiveness. Ephesians 4 says that we have to get rid of all of our bitterness, all of our rage, all of our anger. Instead, we have to show kindness and compassion to one another, forgiving each other, because through Christ, God has forgiven us. We're a people who have been shown great, merciful love by the Lord. He's forgiven us. All our guilt is gone. And we have to be a people who show that mercy to those around us. The last picture of hesed that I want to talk about is related to sacrifice, because Israel and Jonah and you and I, we're all supposed to delight in showing mercy. We're all supposed to have loyal, faithful love. But we fail at it all of the time. Do you know what God says about our hesed? In the book of Hosea, he says that it's like the morning mist. It's like the dew that disappears. That's about as much loyal love as we have in us. And so thanks be to God that the loyal love of the Lord endures forever. In the book of 2 Samuel, God speaks to King David and he says, David, my hesed, my loyal love is going to stay with your family forever. And despite David's failings, despite the mess of his family, God stays faithful to that commitment because Jesus is born through the line of David. And then Jesus shows us the glory of God. The book of Hebrews says that Jesus is the radiance of God's glory. He's the exact representation of his being. The God revealed at Mount Sinai is Jesus in the flesh. Jesus shows great compassion. There's a group of us reading through the New Testament here at the church, and every time we read one of the Gospels, we meet up and we're astounded by the compassion that Jesus shows for people. His heart opens up to those who are in need, and he restores them. He's compassionate. The book of John tells us that we've seen the glory of God, and it's revealed in Jesus. He came full of grace and truth. The New Living Translation says that he came full of unfailing love and faithfulness. The same wording as Mount Sinai. And then in a great act of mercy, God showed the pinnacle of his loyal love for us when he sent his son to the cross. Jesus sacrificed in our place. God fulfilling the commitments of his faithful covenantal love. Praise be to God. He's faithful. He's the hope of the world. And so as we head out into the reality of our week, let's take some pictures with us. Let's remember the faithful love of God as we spend our week being loyal to our commitments to our spouses, to our families and friends, to our work. And as you do that, remember God's faithful love for you. Some of us might need to keep that picture of Jonah in our heads, sitting outside the city, pouting that God loves showing mercy. And we might need to ask God to soften our hearts so that we delight in showing mercy and forgiveness, just like he does. But one thing that we need to make sure we take with us this week, to make sure that we see, is that we have a God who is abounding, who is overflowing in loyal love for us. He loves us so much. His faithful love never fails us. We can always count on it. When I was in seminary, I had a friend who did what I think lots of seminary students do. He learned about two words of Hebrew, and then he went and got a Hebrew tattoo, because now he was an expert. But what he did is he got the word hesed tattooed on his calf. And he told me that he got that word because he knows that he is often running away from the Lord. And so he wanted that reminder on his calf that the faithful love of God is always right there. He's always there waiting for us. He's always pursuing us. His loyal love never fails us. That friend of mine is currently very far away from the Lord. He has abandoned his faith. He's living a life really in complete opposition to the way of Jesus. But I always think about that tattoo. The truth that the hesed, the loyal, faithful love of God is right there. It hasn't given up on him. And if he just turns around, God will joyfully welcome him back. God's faithful love is here for you. He's not abandoned you. He's waiting for you to turn around. You might have someone who has walked away from the faith. Maybe you had a spouse who used to sit here with you on Sundays and they don't anymore. Maybe you have a child who has walked away from their faith. God's loyal love is still there. Their story is not over. He is pursuing them. He will welcome them back. And so your job is to offer up a vigorous prayer to the Lord. Intercede on their behalf. Remind God of his good character, his faithfulness, his compassion. Ask God to remember your loved one and to act on their behalf, because they need to know his hesed. God has revealed his good character to us in his word, and he invites us to call on it anytime we need him. And you know what? God also rejoices in us delighting and thanking him for who he is, for what he's done. So we're going to sing our worship song, and we're going to praise the Lord for his faithful love. We're going to remember his good character and thank him for being a God who is steadfast in his commitments. He is a God who is compassionate and gracious. He is slow to anger. He's abounding in loyal love and faithfulness. So let's pray together and thank him for it. Father, we recognize that our only hope comes from your good character. So we thank you that you've revealed it to us, that you've invited us to call on it, that you are faithful to do all of the things that you said you're going to do, even when we're not. We are grateful today, Lord, for your faithful love. So, Father, I pray that your word would go with us this week, that you'd remind us of your good character and as we walk through our days. Help us to be a people who love well, who forgive well, because we have been forgiven much. So we bless you, God, today, and we thank you for your faithfulness, your loyal love in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.